11:48 p.m. at Melrose Place. And you're listening to Night Call.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. I'm Molly Lambert, and with me in Los Angeles is...
Emily Yoshida. What?
What? And as always...
Tess Lynch.
We are all in a room together, believe it or not.
Being in a room together, I realized that we all, even probably when we're on opposite sides of the country, bob our heads a little bit.
Yes.
When we think that the theme music should be coming in for our show.
Oh, yeah. We do. I for sure bob my head to the imaginary theme music.
We know you're bobbing your heads because we can see you.
Yeah. Maybe we should make some some solar power bobbleheads.
Oh, my God.
Merch idea.
Guys, welcome to Night Call. And... you should give us a call at 240-46-NIGHT.
Or an email.
Yeah.
At nightcallpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also text us at 240-46-NIGHT if you're afraid of us hearing your voice. And if you'd like to be anonymous, just tell us so we will protect your identity. Because we're nice.
We are. And we got a Facebook group.
We do.
And an Instagram.
And they're all popping off.
And a Twitter account. We're just across the web. We're sending out strands.
Speaking of the Facebook group, somebody posted something that is now making the rounds that I wanted to talk to you guys about, and it's Cremains cookies. If you guys are listening and eating, put down what you're eating for a minute, because in Davis, California, at a, I guess it's Da Vinci Charter Academy, a student passed out some cookies to her friends that contained human ashes.
Probably pretty clean, though. I mean, I can't imagine...
clean eating.
Clean, yeah. Like, of all things that you could put in your... I bet cremains are better for you than, like, you know, aspartame.
Somehow.
Do you think they have protein? Do you think they retain any
I bet
nutrients?
Not. It's probably just a carb, right?
Is it even a carb? Maybe it's just fiber.
Though I heard things can get toxic when they get really burnt. Like, isn't the burnt part of toast supposed to be bad for you, supposedly?
It's carcinogenic. Well, so something,
maybe.
Anything that's charred.
Maybe
however, cremains in small amounts,
are carcinogenic.
Entire human body is, I think, average 5 pounds of ashes. Am I making that up? That's
no,
what I
you're
think.
You're the only
I
one
think,
who knows yeah. that, and
you
I'm proud of you.
You speak with authority, and I trust you.
I believe it's between 4 and 6 pounds. I think women are average 4 pounds, and men are average 6 pounds of ashes. Happy Halloween, by the way.
Happy Halloween.
Not yet, but, you know, we're excited. But the kids who ate the ash cookies, some of them knew, some of them didn't. 9 of them ate the cookies in total. Would you ever eat a cookie made with how much?
Wait.
Actually, better question. How much would you?
So was this an experiment or was this a kid who had been asked to bring a treat to class and had a dead relative that he had to do something with?
I think it was like a prank.
A prank.
I think it was a prank.
Oh, yeah. It's just sprinkle some of those human ashes you have lying around in your house.
How old was the kid?
This is, I believe the kid was a high schooler. There's conflicting information.
I'm picturing like an 8-year-old bringing
it. I was too.
Yeah.
Something about a teenager, that's more believable.
But where did they get the cremains? Whose cremains were they?
I believe the grandparent, one of the grandparents' cremains.
See, that's what makes it fucked up somehow.
You think if it, well, who else? I mean, what? It would be so much worse if it were a stranger's cremains.
It's bad
in a way.
If it's anyone's cremains.
I think
but
it's
the
worse
fact
if it's
a relative.
Like,
it's your you own, think? Your own flesh and blood.
Because then, so he's like what at the funeral, and they have an urn there, and he like sneaks when nobody's
maybe the
looking
urn's
and,
in the house.
Maybe so. Yeah. Well, either way. He decides, oh, you know what would be crazy and fucked up if I took some of my grandparents. Like, that's like a little
It's bad. No question.
In training.
Do you think he was like, I'm going to put it on YouTube and get like.
Well, guess what? It was a girl.
Oh, my God.
So does that change it? So
wow.
Here's, yeah.
Well, empowered femme.
Empowered
like, thank
femme
you.
Sociopath.
Yep. So it's basically.
More female serial killers.
The police detective said that, like, based on a preliminary investigation, they felt like it was a credible thing that happened, but they weren't 100% sure, but believed based on what the girl said and what the kids that she had interacted with said that it had really happened. And there was like a boy came home and told his parents about it, and they were like, "Bah!"
And, it's crazy she told anyone that it was cremains, because she could have just like done it and gotten away with it, which is also crazy.
Yeah, you wouldn't get any fun out of that, though, if you were the kind of person who would get fun out of, like, you would have to see the reaction otherwise.
There was a girl at Tess and I's high school who got in trouble for bringing weed brownies to school and putting them in the teacher's lounge, and this feels very, like, of that kind of.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in that case, you would actually see maybe some of the effects of your work.
I hate to bring up a forbidden topic on the podcast.
No,
but,
Molly.
But one time I was at a party, and I ate these chocolate chip cookies, and then this girl was like, guess what the secret ingredient
no,
is?
No, 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 don't.
You can't You're say gonna, the word.
No, we all know what it is.
The just condiment don't. That we
the condiment
are
that
never to talk about again.
And then I almost spewed. I think I did spew.
So sieht es auch der Sozialverband.
This week's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Robinhood, an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Robinhood is a simple, intuitive way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with confidence. It's not at all intimidating, even if you, like us, used to get anxiety attacks just by kind of like passively watching the stock ticker scroll by when your parents watched the news and you were like, not for me. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, which means you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, if you're already interested in investing, Robinhood helps you learn to invest by offering stock collections, so you can browse curated categories like female CEOs as you build your portfolio. And the app makes it easy to understand trading with charts and market data, so you can place a trade in just four taps. Robinhood is giving our listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at nightcall.robinhood.com. That's nightcall.robinhood.com.
Do you feel like people did weird pranks with food when it was still legal to like have handmade trick-or-treat candy?
Growing up, I was never allowed to eat the like not packaged unless it was an apple. Which also you could definitely make a razor blade apple.
But none of those things ever happened.
I think it's so sad because I think that if Halloween was a night where you went around and ate cookies that like your neighbors made, that would be the sweetest, like most wonderful, heartwarming holiday.
Sure. But everyone's afraid of
the human
of each
experiment.
Other.
Yeah, does not allow such happiness.
I
mean,
I think people eat cookies that their neighbors make, but sometimes they turn out to have like mystery ingredients that you wish you didn't know about.
Honestly, I find that. At least my neighbors, many of them have strong feelings about any kind of sugar, including cookies. And so it's the most
those are the kind of neighbors
evening.
You have.
Yeah, I do. I have some of those and some not those. Oh. But it's hard to navigate on Halloween for sure.
Oh, that sounds impossible. Aww. I saw a show once that was called like My Strange Obsession. It was like a
parallel show
to like My Strange Addiction or something. But it was just people that were obsessed with things. It's the best show. There was one episode about a guy who's obsessed with mustard and another guy who's obsessed with ketchup, and they never meet in the episode.
What?
They just show their parallel lives, and they both have wives who are like very fed up with them. And like, man, I wish they would be into anything else for like a moment. The mustard guy like brushes his teeth with mustard, and the mustard guy is like a mustard superior. Sorry to bring it back to condiments. That guy is like... He's like a mustard supremacist, and the other guy is like a ketchup supremacist.
I have an issue with
this.
It's
so weird.
There's only one kind of ketchup that's worth its salt, and that would be Heinz ketchup, and every other ketchup is bogus.
I'm team mustard for sure, but
we've talked.
There was
about
another
that
episode of this show about a person who was into dumpster diving and was obsessed with dumpster diving, and they foraged a meal and then invited over all their neighbors and friends, and then everybody ate the meal, and then they were like, guess what? All that food came from the trash. And everybody had different reactions.
Yes. Whatever. They all have to get over it. It's fine. We should all be dumpster diving.
Wait. Was this captured on film in the show?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to watch it so hard.
Oh, it's just amazing because it's like everyone's enjoying it until they find out it's from the dumpster, and then their like social conditioning kicks in, and they're all like, oh, no.
Is this on A&E?
I think so,
okay.
Whatever. The people who are mad about it can go fuck themselves.
Well, you just should be given a choice.
Yeah, you should be given a
choice. I know. I'm just like, I'm such a freak about like not wasting food.
Our view on Cremaine's cookies is you should be told beforehand and given a choice.
Yeah.
Cremaine's cookies and
then
dumpster
it's a fun,
food.
It's a fun and Halloween-y event at your school. Not at, maybe
like,
not
I
your
thought
school.
It was eyeballs.
Yeah.
But it was
I thought it was peeled grapes, but guess what? It was eyeballs this time.
We want to take a bunch of night emails / calls today on the show.
Yeah, speaking of spooky Halloween spirits.
We have a backlog.
And ghosts.
Yeah.
Backlog. We wanted to return to the topic of whether or not Jesus is a ghost. And we got a night email from our friend John, the theologian.
Theologian.
I'm very much the amateur when it comes to all the religious matters on this podcast.
It's because there's a Wilco song.
Oh, theologian. Of course there is. John wrote, I'm a professor of theology in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. I want to try and answer your question from the last pod on the Holy Ghost and whether Jesus is a ghost. There is a word for ghost in the New Testament, but it only appears a couple of times. The Greek word is phantasma, and it means something like specter, apparition, or ghost. It occurs on both occasions in different versions of Jesus walking on the water towards his disciples in a boat, and they think they have seen a ghost. They are terrified and cry out, but Jesus tells them to have courage and not be afraid. The ghost in Holy Ghost is related to the German Geist, spirit, but we do not tend to use ghost any longer to mean spirit, which is why the common English translation is now Holy Spirit. The resurrected Jesus has some of the characteristics of a spirit, but also elements of his physical body, since he can grill fish, eat, and retains the wounds of his crucifixion on his hands and feet. Straightforwardly, the resurrected Jesus is not a ghost, to my mind, but this amalgam of human and spirit. Thanks for your pod, but Molly, please do not hail or summon Satan anymore. It scares me.
Agreed, John. I've been saying.
I love that email. It's like it's very informative.
Yeah, we also edited down. There was a lot of information that was really interesting. I can post it just because.
I think I always assumed that the reason that it was spirit now in most translations and not ghosts is because, like, to not scare kids or something. Like, I feel like a lot of aspects of a lot of religions gets, like, some of the weirder parts sort of, like, sanded away in different parts. My favorite thing is that, like, angels are, like, not. Like, a lot of them are, like, described as, like, being actually terrifying.
Right,
and, like,
right.
Like, these headless things with, like, a zillion eyeballs all over the wings and stuff. And I'm like, that's cool and metal as hell. And that should be the dominant idea. When you imagine an angel now, your automatic imagination should be.
Please write a dark fantasy novel about cool angels with eyeball wings.
And, like, barbed horns and
things. Yeah. So I figured that the ghost thing was just one of those things.
Anything, like, that seems like a holdover from paganism is always a chill part of Christianity. Yeah.
I like the idea that Jesus is a spirit who grills and eats.
I love that was the example of what makes him human is he can grill and eat fish.
Imagine if you were, like, haunted by a spirit that was, like, a benevolent spirit, but that for dinner became not a, it entered its material
could
form.
Digest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of people's dream relationship.
I feel like this is, like, a common question, but I feel like nobody has ever answered it properly for me. But what happens if a vampire eats food? Like, does it just hang out inside their body for a long time?
No, they don't. But what if they did?
But sometimes I feel like in some things they do eat food to, like act normal or something.
Yeah.
And, like, it's disgusting to them, or, like, or there's no sensation whatsoever. I imagine, like, a stomach that's just a dead end. And it, maybe that's what the Jesus ghost had.
I like that you think about that. Yeah. When it,
so you're saying.
It just lives there forever. The sandwich never goes away.
The sandwich becomes a vampire.
Right.
Right. Do you think it, like, turns into, it, like, liquefies and turns into tears and sweat? Like, maybe it supplies those.
It's what makes them, like, sparkly.
Yeah, it could be. Oh, it could be their sparkles.
Just little sandwiches all over. Little eyeball sandwiches all over their wings.
Yes, exactly. I know about mythology. That's how it works.
It's how it works. Today's episode of Night Call is brought to you by BarkBox. BarkBox is a monthly delivery of innovative toys and all-natural treats for the dogs who really deserve them, which is all dogs, let's be honest, because dogs rule. Really quick story, I have the world's best dog. I know that everybody says that, but I definitely do. And right after my first kid was born, Sadie, my dog, got, like, scared. There were fireworks. It was the 4th of July. And she ran away, and everyone was coming over, and they were like, oh, you have a baby. And I was just so upset because I was like, my other baby ran away. So even though I have kids, my dog is also my kid. And I feel like it's hard because you don't get that many opportunities to do like really special things for your dog. And that's kind of what makes BarkBox amazing. You can tailor the box to your dog's size. So if you have a puppy, you can update it as he or she grows. You let BarkBox know about any allergies or special chewing needs your dog has so they can assemble the perfect box for your pet. And you can choose from a 1-6 or 12-month plan shipped directly to your door. An added bonus to dog-specific deliveries is that maybe now your dog will stop barking at the mailman like he's an agent of doom. Every month, your dog gets the best all-natural treats and chews and toys designed in-house with the best materials. The treats have no soy, wheat, or corn. They're all made in the USA or Canada, and each box comes with free delivery and contains over $40 of treats and toys, while subscriptions start at just $20 a month. And it's 100% guaranteed. So if your dog doesn't love a particular item, the customer service team will swap it out for something that they will. With surprise monthly themes like Jurassic Bark, this is something both you and your best buddy can get excited about unboxing. And if you have cats, well, guess what? They'll be excited too because, look, a box. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/call when you subscribe to a 6 or 12-month plan. That's BarkBox.com/call.
In the realm of things that are creepy and of another time, we also got a night email from Naomi.
She sent us a link that was so scary. So scary. Okay. Hi, guys. Love you guys so much. Best podcast ever. You're welcome, Naomi.
Thank you.
Watch this ASMR video of a guy in a plague doctor costume, which you probably know is like a mask with a beak, beaking you to sleep. Very cool, and thought you guys would enjoy if you haven't seen it already. He also did a video of a health exam in the costume. I can't stop watching, with a link that we will send along to post somewhere.
I think we can maybe throw in a little bit of audio here.
Oh, yeah. Live audio, fully.
It's so scary. Emily, are you pulling it up?
I'm pulling it up.
So it's going to haunt you.
It is so very good to be seeing you. It is time once more for your peeking. So please, if you have not already done so, make yourself most comfortables.
Comfortables?
And we will begin with the peeking.
Okay.
And that's
and
enough.
It continues for a while.
30
Gosh,
minutes.
What is the beaking?
I don't know what beaking you to sleep means outside of this
I don't
context.
Think that
he's
would.
A, it's a
I
plague think he, doctor.
That would not anything me to sleep. That wouldn't keep me awake.
It's like 174,000 views at time of recording. Mm-hmm. There's another one that's got 1 million that's the plague patient.
Clearly
doctor.
There's a burgeoning subculture.
I mean, this is a good, if you wanted to create like a constructed internet urban legend or like creepypasta type thing, I feel like Plague Doctor ASMR is a pretty good.
Well, also because when you guys tried to put it in, it came out as like a phone number for both
right.
of you.
We yeah. should try calling the phone number.
No, you know, I'm pretty sure that it was when I forwarded the email, I was also looking up a spam call and it ended up hyperlinking. But do you guys know what those, like what the mask is from and stuff? Like why people wore those masks?
I do, but why don't you tell our listeners?
Okay. It was because I just looked it up. I'm not going to pretend that I knew. They weren't actually doctors. They were like the kind of like moonlighting doctors who weren't totally certified, treated patients with the bubonic plague. And so they would wear these giant beak masks that were filled with like different herbs and, you know, things that smelled good because the smell was what was thought to transmit the plague.
Right.
So he's being a plague doctor ASMR because he's wearing his creepy anti-plague
mask.
Yeah.
Were they? This one looks like it's leather, though,
it does.
Like it's made of human skin.
They're also just like a fetish item for people that are into like steampunk.
Right, yeah.
Plague steampunk, because they're so creepy looking, and there's one in Eyes Wide Shut.
I feel like most people associate it with Eyes Wide Shut now in our modern era, which turn you associate it with a sex cult.
Yeah.
So it is a kink object? I don't know.
Yeah.
At this point.
Well, because they were like, what is it? They're like Venetian masks, and it's a mask representing this thing everybody would know about of the plague doctors.
Yeah.
And then we all associate it with Eyes Wide Shut.
Yep.
Yeah,
but it's also the lighting in this video and the perspective is what also just makes it super scary.
Well, all you see is the beak.
You're getting beaked.
You are getting beaked.
Masks are terrifying.
Masks are the worst. This is what I was saying when we were talking about scary things. Like, I can't think of that many movies that scare me, but person in a mask.
Like, that's a lot of them.
Well, yeah, like even just when Tom Cruise shows up in his mask, because he has like the tragedy mask on, or like something that looks like a tragedy
mask.
And it's so scary. It's so scary that there's a face on the outside, but it's not the actual face. Yep. I don't know what it is. It's just the scariest thing in the world.
It's because you're afraid of being tricked.
I am. I'm afraid of people's emotions.
See, that's the most interesting thing to think about, though. The scary mask that everybody wears, man. It's on your skeleton.
It's a flesh mask.
It's a flesh mask on your face. No, it's weird too, because it's like there is a thing where like when a face becomes too mask-like, it's scary. Certain people have made their faces look more like masks, and it's become sort of like...
Do you mean future human diamond Kris Jenner?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like, at what point does it become like it crosses the uncanny valley into like that's not exactly what a human face is?
Yeah. Like, I had this idea for a short film that would just be about, like, the creation of, you know, the opening titles of a housewife film. They say their name and their catchphrase for the season. But, like, the
idea... Did you say a housewife film?
Did I say a housewife film?
I was like, yes.
A Coen picture.
Yes.
Belle du jour.
Yeah.
Yes. No, but like an idea of like a woman who's on one of these shows and then has had so much work done since filming that part that like she's going in to approve that and like do her like voiceover for it. But like she doesn't recognize herself in the image anymore or something.
Ooh, and it's I like just that.
I've
been watching Real Housewives of Orange County, which is the scariest and worst, but also like interesting bad of all the Real Housewives.
Did you just call it the scariest?
Yes.
Why is it the scariest?
They have to all be Trump voters.
From Orange County. But it's also the oldest in the franchise, which means they're now dealing with mortality, which is also so weird.
How old are they?
Oh, and to bring it back to Kremaine's, I told you guys about when I was keeping up with the Kardashians.
That's why I brought it
and Kris J. They did a whole plotline about Kim wanting to become a mortician. That was actually a good plotline where they went to do makeup at like a funeral home. And she was like, are we going to do makeup on a dead body? I don't know if I can handle it. And then it's like a person who plays a dead body for you to do makeup on.
So it sounds like Kardashians is just becoming Kroll show now.
Oh,
like,
it totally is.
Armand of the house over here.
I didn't know what to think about putting makeup on a dead body. But then I said, I'm just going to suck it up and go for it.
It turns out putting makeup on dead bodies is my passion and I love it. No, they did like a contour on the dead body. She was like, it's amazing. You can like make someone look perfect for their afterlife forever.
Oh my God.
And then the other thing was Kris Jenner finding out about a thing where you can have your cremains made into a diamond. And she was like, should I do that?
I'm saying I would do that.
Her issue inevitably was that she was like, I have too many relatives and I'd want them all to have one.
Oh, and they'd all be beaten down the door for some of that Kris Jenner haunted diamond.
They were like all into it. They were all like, ooh, you could become a diamond. Like, let's all be diamonds when we die.
When you think about it, almost anything is better than the kind of prevailing two popular options.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you don't want to just be, like, sitting in an urn waiting to become cookies. You don't want to be, like, in the ground taking up all this real estate that could be, like...
And all your chemicals leaching into the
earth. Chemicals leaching out.
Do you guys know about the mushroom bag?
No. Oh, yes, because Jen Romolini got into it. Please.
It's called, I think it's called like the Mushroom Death Bag. I know about this because David met the woman who invented it at a festival somewhere. But it's supposed to be just like a zero footprint burial method. Because, you know, if you just bury a body raw, if you raw dog it in the earth.
In the tomb.
That's actually really bad too. Because like our bodies right. have all sorts of stuff in them. Like it's not like just, I don't know, putting your dog in the backyard or something. Although that's not supposed to be good either.
No.
I don't know what you're supposed to
I'm
do.
I'm learning
with
a lot right
you're
now.
You're supposed to, I think usually when you put down your animal, like they suggest cremation.
Right. No. So the mushroom death bag is a zipped up like body bag that you're put in. And there are like spores in the material of the bag. And so when you're buried, they basically eat you.
Smart.
So that it there's no...
Well, don't maggots eat bodies anyway? Isn't that what really happens to bodies in the ground, supposedly?
I think eventually.
Yeah.
But I think first it's all your goo kind
of. Yeah, you have
nuts.
A lot of...
I was really into mummification always.
Sure.
That yeah. always seemed like a great...
I'm into this
option.
Mushroom idea. It's so great.
No, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Is it a biodegradable
idea.
Bag, too? Yeah, like
I'll
the
try
whole
to find
thing
a picture
just
of it.
Turns into it's like annihilation.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
That's weird because I was going to be like, what about just like planting everyone's bodies in a grove? You can go see.
Yeah.
Right, mushroom death bag.
See your dead friends. That would be weird. I guess.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, you mean like, oh, when you grow into a tree. Oh, when you, oh, you mean the annihilation tree
yeah.
people? Yes, yeah.
To
mushroom
be a tree.
Death suit. I'm sorry. It's a death suit.
I would like to be eaten by mushrooms because then you'd be like a mushroom.
What kind of mushrooms do you think they are they like edible? Could this become another
well,
like,
then somebody eats it and gets your saying. Personality.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what I thought the Cremains cookies were going to lead to. There was a really good Erie, Indiana about a girl getting a heart transplant from a kid who dies in their class, and then she like becomes the kid who she got the heart transplant from.
When you're a kid, that's the only thing that makes sense. But also when you think about, yeah, like the like, you know, eye transplant and then you're seeing things through, it makes
yeah.
no logical sense.
Yeah.
But like as a child, you're like, sure, of course, because it's their eye.
It's their eye. It's in your head.
Yeah.
Guys, would you like to hear a spooky tale from producer Rachel?
Yes.
So this night email comes from none other than our own producer, Rachel, who says, when I was 19, I worked at a grocery store as a cashier. It was always cold, so I was wearing a hoodie, and it was really cold, so I had the hood up. A customer sidled up to the counter, a middle-aged man, but he didn't have anything to buy. Instead, he said, where's your bag? I had no idea what he was talking about and gave him a look. He asked again, where's your bag? And I thought he had left bags at a different cashier and had come back for them, and that was what he meant. But he said again, where's your bag? Come on, let's go. Finally, I took down my hoodie and said, what? Immediately, he recoiled, muttered, you're not my daughter, and slinked off back into the store. No word on why he thought his daughter would be behind the cashier's counter, but it was definitely the weirdest story I've ever experienced about a mistaken identity. And I tell this story to anyone who insists they know me, but who I've definitely never met before. Stay spooky, Rachel. I find the thing, that thing of when somebody is like, you look just like somebody I know. That is the number one conversation killer of all time, especially because
yes.
it's usually the first thing that somebody says to you when they meet you, and there's nowhere to go after that.
Yes, exactly.
I have no idea what to say. I would love some advice from people if they know what to say if somebody says, you look just like my friend Beth.
I always say, like, I am your friend Beth.
It's me. She says hi.
It's me.
That just happened to me at Trader Joe's. The guy said, he asked if I was from upstate New York, and I was like, not really.
Well, sometimes it's just
there.
A pickup line. Sometimes
no,
it's
no,
just
but
like,
he was like, you have my friend's face.
Well, we've been talking about doppelgangers a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the air.
Oh, we actually got another night email about voice doppelgangers that
voice
involves
doppelgangers.
Emily.
Emily has a voice doppelganger.
Oh, right.
Hey, Night Call. It's funny, Emily mentioned that she's never been presented with a doppelganger because her voice, specifically her laugh, reminds me of a friend's voice. I even texted my friend about it back in February. The similarity between the voices is sort of uncanny because it's not that Emily and my friend have the exact same voice and laugh. It's more that when I'm listening to Night Call and Emily laughs, I have a brief but distinct reminder of my friend. It's like they are somehow linked in the spiritual realm.
Cool.
Two ghost emojis.
That's us, the two ghosts.
Thanks, Kate.
I wish that that person would call in so we could hear.
Yeah, if you're our doppelgangers or voice doppelgangers, please call in.
I did a podcast. I did a while ago. I forget what podcast of mine it was, with Shelby Farrow, and I felt like she and I, it was like talking to myself, kind of. We talked about Archie a lot, and I was just like, it was like that gif of like the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. It's just like, wait, we like all the same things. What's up, Shelby?
Come on, Night Call.
Come on, Night Call. Talk about Sabrina. I'm so excited for Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It's like only TV show I care about.
We were talking about that with somebody at the film festival this weekend because we were like, we're excited about Suspiria, but also like we want the light version of it too. We want the teen drama version.
No, I'm so excited for that. I've heard good things about the Hulu show Light as a Feather.
Which I don't know.
Apparently,
about that.
like a craft knockoff TV show about girls who play light as a feather and spooky things happen.
I'm down.
Watch that. Has anybody watched the new Charmed?
No, it's I think like, it just started.
I heard it's not so great. Which is disappointing because it should be
that much.
My mom watched the original.
Really?
So I we're watched just pro, it like over we're pro her witches. Shoulder.
Yeah.
This episode of Night Call is brought to you by Stamps.com. You've probably heard of Stamps.com before, but what makes Stamps.com so great? So if you have your own business or a side gig that involves shipping merchandise like we do here at Night Call, and yes, we are working on getting our shirts out to everybody as well as some other merch as well. Stay tuned for more news on that. Then Stamps.com lets you buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or any package right from your home office. Which may be your couch or your bed, we don't judge. You can do this 24/7. Just click, print, mail, and you're done. Our favorite part about using Stamps.com is how much time it saves and how flexible it works with your schedule. We're all pretty nocturnal and we do a lot of our pod business at nights and hours when the post office isn't open. And if you're freelancing or you have multiple jobs, it's amazing to be able to get things ready to ship while you're in your jammies, watching TV, watching your favorite shows, and then just pop your letters into the mailbox for delivery the next morning. You can run your business so much more easily when you can fit it into your schedule, and Stamps.com makes it really easy to do that. If you want to try out Stamps.com right now, use the code NIGHTCALL for this special offer, a 4-week free trial, including postage and a free digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in NIGHTCALL. That's all one word, NIGHTCALL. That's Stamps.com. Enter in code NIGHTCALL.
I'm going to force everyone here to watch The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Emily?
I'll watch it. I don't know anything. I've never watched any version of it before.
I was saying I like The Haunting, the 1999 version, which is notable for having really bad CGI.
Isn't Liam Neeson in
Liam that? Neeson. Catherine Zeta-Jones is like a hip, bisexual, cool person in a great coat.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly her vibe.
And then Owen Wilson is like the doofy comic relief, and then he gets his head chopped off by a statue. And I would like watch it on TBS all the time up to that part and be like, okay.
It's all downhill from here.
It's great. It's a great book. I was saying Shirley Jackson is one of my favorite people ever. Really cool, good writer. And I'm glad she's getting more adaptations of things because they're all really good. She's a really good novel about a family that's like left alone and think they're a doomsday cult, like a rich family. I think it's called The Sundial. It kind of reminds me of Hereditary in some ways. It's very like this creepy family, like isolated from everyone.
Yeah.
And then there's a storm. It's good.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
We will have more important Halloween programming over the next couple of weeks, but please give us recommendations of things that you think we should check out at 24046night or nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. Haunting of Hill House has been endorsed by a couple of you, so we're gonna do that, but we want more things.
We gotta do our Halloween deep dive. Need to go and I need to watch them all because I've only seen the first one, and
I was gonna say Halloween 3, which is the scariest Halloween that has nothing to do with the other ones, is about like a mask that you put on your face and you can't get it off.
Oh,
no, thank you.
The scariest thing, it's like a toy company puts out these masks, these like free Halloween masks, and then the kids put them on and they like go to your face and you can't ever get them off.
That's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. It'll make an imprint on your psyche.
And my face.
This can be part of our Girls in Booties scary movie reboot. Someone was like, it's Halloween. I wonder if they're going to do the Girls in Booties.
We are always booties.
In our always your booties.
In our salt.
We have one more night email that we want to read before we ride off into the spooky sky. This is from Roni in Australia, and she says, it's currently 0021 in Sydney, which is very Australian. And I just drove from the south coast of Sydney to the city. It's about an hour and a half, and it gave me time to catch up on two of your podcasts. I'm currently up the Pablo and Cheese episode. I love a good night drive with podcasts. That's good. She has two questions. One, I recently turned 30 and I received a Swim with the Sharks aquarium voucher for the Sydney Aquarium. I've grown up surfing on the south coast of Australia and now Sydney most days. And I'm terrified of sharks. I freeze and grab onto my board when I get a freaky feeling out the back when I'm solo surfing. It usually drives me to paddle into shore. I'm not sure whether or not I should cash in this voucher. I need your advice. Will it either freak me out even more and I won't go into the ocean? Or will it help me overcome my fear of sharks? I'm worried I will also freeze up and be like a floating starfish on the surface of the shark tank. Also, strongly against animal captivity in any form. Help! And number two, in relation to culling hippos, we have a similar problem in Australia with wild brumbies. Horses that aren't native to Australia, and they were brought out here during the Captain Cook time, I presume. And now they're destroying native flora and fauna, especially in our national forests. There are for and against arguments for the culling of these animals, destroying native life and plants, or not killing an animal that has become super iconic to our snowy mountains region. Please weigh in. And yes, we have snowy mountains in Australia. Winky face. Happy night call. Thank you, Roni.
Thank you.
What a good night call.
Two good night emails in one. Do you guys want to start with the shark tank?
I would not swim with the sharks. Putting it out there, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either, I feel like.
Why?
Because I feel like if you're already surfing, you probably are already swimming with sharks.
Isn't there something about like actually being able to see them that would be different? Like I know what she's talking about, because like even when I was just in the Cape like earlier this summer, and I don't ever think about sharks. I don't think I have a particular like phobia or hang up on them. But at one point I was out there and then I thought for a second about sharks. And then I was like, oh God, there's like a shark, you know, in every corner of this like kind of inlet here. Like they're all waiting for me.
I don't think it would help. I don't think it would tame any fears if, you know, because it's such a different scenario.
Right, right.
Those different are like, kinds of sharks.
Those are like tame sharks.
Yeah. And also, I find it so depressing.
Yeah, and it would like, just bum you out maybe.
Those, I mean, after Blackfish and everything, I was like, I just don't, like, the where I draw the line is like, we have a science center out here where you can do the touching tank and it's like, it's starfish and stuff. I'm kind of okay with that. They kind of cut things off at a level where I can deal with it. They're not like mammals or like giant fish.
Right.
But I feel like if you do that, that might karmically or like the plot of your life might somehow involve sharks after that in a way you don't want.
I feel like it might just be depressing, which on the one hand might give you like more empathy for sharks in the wild. Like,
maybe they should be able to eat me, man.
Well, they don't really eat people, though. No, that's the thing. It's like
they just bite them.
Yeah, and it's like by accident.
Yeah.
It's not on purpose. So it's not like sharks are malevolent towards humans.
Yeah.
We just project that on them because they're like beautiful prehistoric monster looking things.
Like robots. it's an interesting gift for somebody to give somebody
else.
Yeah,
it is.
Like that without it being asked for, it sounds like.
Yeah. I also just think it's cool that you surf all the time.
Yes,
and
I know.
I would like to learn to surf.
Yeah, me too.
Guys, what do you think about the Wild Brumbies, which is also the name of our folk album?
I love nothing more than Australian slang. On North Mollywood, we had Brody Lancaster on, and she taught us about shooies, which is an Australian slang for a thing where you like make your mates drink a beer out of their shoe.
What?
Oh, right.
On a dare.
That's awesome. If I were going to move anywhere, I would be moving to Australia. I think
really?
I've already told you guys this. Yes, I've never been to Australia.
I've never been either.
I spent a lot of time looking into it, though.
That's the longest flight you can take.
Yep.
Like,
I'm going to do it. And then I'm never coming back.
They're going to put like little gyms on the Qantas flights out there because, like, just to help people not get deep vein thrombosis or whatever.
Where are little gyms?
Little gym.
Oh, little gyms.
It's like a slim gym, but smaller. Yeah, they decided that was going to be their X factor in getting passengers on. Like, you get a free slim gym.
Yeah.
Well, I have a suggestion about culling these ponies real quick.
Uh-huh.
Which is
I want to see a Brumby also.
Yeah, look up the Brumbies. Show me the Brumbies when you find them. But could there not be like a Miss T of Chincoteague solution to this? Because that, growing up, I was like, I thought the Misty of Chincoteague tale was the most ingenious
what
thing.
What is the Misty of Chincoteague?
It's a children's book about a beautiful horse.
No,
and like a
it's
girl.
It's true. Okay, it's there's something called a pony penning. There are these little islands, Chincoteague and Assateague. All right, there's wild ponies that live there, but they were, you know, overpopulating the islands and causing issues. So what they do is they swim the ponies to the mainland, and it's the big thing, and like people come from everywhere. They auction them off to people who want to breed ponies or have farms or whatever. You know, they give them like veterinary care.
Uh-huh.
They do counts of how many there are. And then they send back a sustainable population.
Huh.
And so Misty was one of the, you know, ponies that was penned or whatever. And then she became, but it was like a, I think Misty was the true story. Definitely the pony penning is a real thing.
Huh.
But could there not be like a pony penning situation where you round up the wild Brumbies. It never gets not fun to say.
It says they do fertility control as the main population management method that's viewed as the most humane. But it's also like, this is human beings' fault, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So we have to fix it in a like good way.
They're so cool. It's like,
what do they look like? Let's see a
picture.
They're just
good horses. They're horses.
They're kind of little.
They're regular horses that they brought to Australia from like England, and then they got wild, they got lost and became feral, like cool free-running tribes of horses.
Dingo horses.
That's awesome.
But it's bad for the environment because they trample stuff.
They trample stuff, yeah. And they
but just the image of like beautiful like herds of like free-running wild horses.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Just another selling point to move to Australia. I know Australia has its problems too, but it's like
many, many problems.
Yes, many, many, many problems.
That does it for this week's Night Call.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for
listening.
Thanks,
everyone, for listening. Don't get eaten by a shark. Don't eat cookies with cremains in them.
Don't get trampled by a Brumby.
Don't get trampled by a
Brumby.
But,
like, make regular cookies for your friends to celebrate the holiday.
Yeah.
And, you know, have a nice time and don't worry about types of sugar and if you don't need to.
Thanks for letting us beak you to sleep.